On the campus of one of America's leading universities.
There is a problem on the main hallway chalkboard. It took my colleagues and I more than 2 years to prove it. I'm hoping that one of you might prove it by the end of the semester.
The most gifted mind to ever enter its classrooms.
This is correct. Who did this?
Is the person who cleans its floors.
Well, I just need the name of this guy who works in my building.
Got this job through his PO, you can call him.
PO?
Parole officer.
Meet Will Hunting.
I've been looking over this rap sheet of yours. Assault, theft, resisting.
I've spoken to the judge, and he's agreed to release you. Under my supervision.
Really?
You have to meet with a therapist every week.
That's pretty good.
For the first time in his life, he's about to meet his match.
How many shrinks you go to before me?
Five. This boy's genius is unparalleled. I need someone who can get through to him.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm pumped. Let's let the healing begin. I went on a date last week.
Going out again?
I don't know. This girl's like, you know, beautiful. She's smart. She's fun. She's like perfect right now. I don't want to ruin that.
Maybe you're perfect right now. Maybe you don't want to ruin that.
Have you talked to him at all about his future?
Give him time to figure out what he wants.
This boy has that gift. Can you imagine if Einstein would have given that up just to get drunk with his buddies every night?
Some people can never believe in themselves.
I can't learn anything from you unless you want to talk about you.
Until someone believes in them.
You can do anything you want. You are bound by nothing.
And you're sitting on a winning lottery ticket. I'd do anything to have what you got.
And some never know how much they can have.
I love you.
Until they discover how much they can give. Academy Award winner Robin Williams, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Stellan Skarsgård, and Minnie Driver. Good Will Hunting, nominated for 9 Academy Awards.
Hey, do you like podcasts? We got a new episode. How do you like that podcast? Look, I'm not perfect sport, okay? So let me save you the suspense. The other guys on this pod, they're not perfect either. But the question is whether or not we're perfect for each other. Because today, we're talking about the 1997 Gus Van Sant film, Good Will Hunting. And of course, I'm not alone. First up, look, he's my best friend. So don't take this the wrong way. But back in my 20s, I thought, in 20 years, if I'm still living here, coming over, he's coming over to my house, I'm going over to his house watching the Patriots games. Yeah, that's actually exactly how it turned out, to be honest with you. So I'm here talking about my buddy, Mr. Davey Corsetto. How are you, and what are you drinking?
I'm fine. I'm just drinking some good old vodka. Vodka?
Is it? Oh, that's terrible.
Now, vodka? You live in Massachusetts. You can't vodka. Say vodka? Vodka.
Vodka.
It's like you don't realize you have the accent, but it'll come out in certain words.
You know what?
I hate that little guinea. Sorry.
I don't care about Robin Williams' accent. I thought it was fine.
I actually thought it was fine, too. I will talk about that a little. Speaking of someone who may have an issue with Robin Williams' accent, next up is a man who, what can I say? My boy's wicked smart. Mr. Christopher Morris, do you have any idea how fucking easy it was for me to write these intros? Oh, and how nice. Are you? And what are you drinking?
Well done. Well done, Michael. I am doing well, and I am drinking Johnny Walker Red in tribute to the great Elliott Smith, which he mentions, which he sings about as Matt Damon is driving, let's say Will, is driving down 495, driving out west at the end credits. So little Johnny Walker Red Scotch, neat. What are you drinking,
I'm drinking
Michael?
Some Magners Irish Cider. because
oh my god, you're such
how do you like them apples?
Because well, yeah, I like them apples, and because you know I'm half Irish Catholic, so it fits in the thing.
Let's go. Yeah, I am Dave's so gonna, excited for this.
I don't think Dave could do a Boston accent if he lived in Southie for 20 years.
Mike, I think you need to shut up. So here's the thing I would say about this movie, right? I love the friend group of this movie.
Yes. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. It's odd of you to come.
I love okay, the fucking... but
you know, when did you first see this?
Yes, Good Will Hunting from 1997, directed by Gus Van Sant. I'm going there. Boom. Written by Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, starring Robin Williams, Matt Damon, Ben Affleck, Minnie Driver, Stellan Skarsgård, Casey Affleck, and Cole Hauser.
Can I ask a question real quick?
How
Robin Williams? Because these guys were two startups, right? Two startups.
The movie got made by the great Harvey Weinstein. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But that's it. It was, you know, it was the script was being passed around. They did write the script. There was some controversy. People questioned whether they, you know, people they took credit for. You know, they had the general idea. They did. The script was different. I don't know if you guys know that the original plot, he was going to work for like the CIA or.
I remember hearing something
the NSA,
about the script.
They actually had like a spy, you know, portion of it. I think it was the CIA. And so I guess a couple people, including Rob Reiner, you know, who was with DreamWorks, said, just get rid of that. Make it make it a genius from Southie. And so the script was at one point Mel Gibson had like rights to the script. And it was being kicked around for a long time. And eventually, I guess they said to Mel Gibson, you know, are you going to, you know, we do this. Are you going to, you know, because it really is, it needs to get done. Matt Damon was getting too old. He was 27, I guess. You know, he was playing Will.
Playing 20.
He wouldn't have been able to play him, which would have been a shame because he was unbelievable in it.
Yeah.
He was nominated too. He should have won.
Mel Gibson have like played the part of Robin Williams?
I don't know. He just had the script. I you know, Hollywood has a million different people playing the possibility of different pairs. It was all over the place. Right. It was 97, so he could have directed it.
And speaking of 97,
that was probably it.
That is the critic score on Rotten Tomatoes at 97%. I think I just saw Dave's feet. 94% audience score. It's got a 70 on Metacritic and A on the cinema score, but it's not one of the AFI greatest 100 films of all time, but it was a big hit on a budget of $10 million. It scored $138 million at the box office in the U.S. This is 1997 money, and $225 million total worldwide. At the 1998 Oscars, it was nominated for Best Picture. It lost to Titanic. Mm-hmm. Damon was nominated for Best Actor. He lost to Jack Nicholson, As Good As It Gets.
Ugh.
Driver was nominated for Best Supporting Actress. She lost to Kim Basinger, LA Confidential. Gus Van Sant was nominated for Best Director. He lost to James Cameron for Titanic. The Best Editor lost to Titanic. Danny Elfman's score lost to Titanic. Elliot Smith's song lost to Celine Dion's song for Titanic. But it did win Best Original Screenplay for Matt Damon and Ben Affleck. I actually remember watching those Oscars in college. And it did win a Best Supporting Actor for Mr. Robin Williams.
Thank God.
Much deserved.
What's that, David?
Wooed you all over yourself that night in your dorm room?
Probably.
I might during this podcast.
Robin Williams did win Best Supporting Actor, you said, right?
Yes. I did say that. Very good.
Brought tears to my eyes in this movie.
It was excellent.
We'll
get to the whole accent thing and... You know, you trying to defend Robin Williams as if you had to me as far as his performance and how much I loved him. I didn't. He had a bad Boston accent. It's fact. And I'm sorry. Dave said it was weird that we judged accents. So is it weird to judge acting?
I get enthralled in the movie. I don't give a shit about their accents.
Okay. It was just one of the things. Michael,
here's like maybe some words didn't sound great, but I noticed. Now, I don't live in Boston, But I notice sometimes I'll talk and it doesn't sound like I have an accent. And then all of a sudden, a certain word will just really hit hard.
Don't get me wrong. Yes, I got you. Don't get
me
wrong.
That's what I thought of him.
He was no.
Why do you care so much?
He was no Martin Sheen.
No.
That fucking. I'm going to shove that fucking thing up your ass.
Why do you care?
He was no Martin Sheen doing the Kennedy. Again, he was my favorite part of this movie. And anyway, so
you got lost in his words during this movie.
Yes.
He was amazing.
Especially on the bench. Especially by the water on the bench. Now, I want to ask you guys, when is the first time you remember seeing this movie?
1997 in the movie theater.
You saw it in the theater?
Did you see it in the movie?
Yeah.
I did not. I saw it. We finally got cable in the dorms my last year. So it was on. I saw it like we had a movie channel or something. Watched it in college.
I'm sorry, Michael. No, you watched it in college.
I did.
So I sure as hell watched it in the movies with Beth, actually, and loved it. It was fantastic. So I told you guys, this is one of Jess's all time favorite movies. She plays it, I was just telling Dave earlier, weekly. Like, it's just so, it goes down smooth, as Dave said. It's so Boston. Like, you know, it's definitely probably the most Boston movie. That's why people who question Matt Damon and, you know, whether Affleck and Damon wrote the script. There's so many, you know, just the little conversations they have. You know what I mean? So yeah. Southie, the story with his uncle, that part. And just the like even Dave like said, he loves them going back and forth, the friends. So I would say I've seen this movie in the last 10 or 15 years, probably more than almost anything besides Jaws.
Wow.
Maybe Dumb. I probably more than Dumb and Dumber even. My friends of ours. Dave, I've mentioned before on the pod, my beer brewing buddy, Dave, and Katie. Huge Good Will Hunting fan. So we would have a few drinks and watch it and quote it.
I'm disappointed with myself that I haven't
sent gifts.
Like, it's not kind of in a rotation, or it's not something that I would put on and seek.
Put it in the rotation. Yeah. I've been getting really bored about watching the same movies I watch every night to go to bed, but this is definitely going in the rotation.
It's, you know, just
let's also say this too. Ben Affleck was very underrated in this movie as well. He was ridiculous.
Yeah. He was great. He was funny. He was great. So
even his brother was hysterical in this movie.
Yes. Yeah. He was.
Yeah.
He was
Morgan Casey. So
yeah.
I love their little crew, like Dave said. So Billy, played by Cole Hauser, I guess he actually had a lot more lines.
I was gonna say he didn't do much.
So, but Cole Hauser actually said maybe he shouldn't say as much. There's always a buddy like that, you know, in real life. There's somebody who just keeps quiet. He, you know, laughed at every Will comment. Dave. It was great. Yes, that would be great, especially on the pod. But. Yeah, I loved their all the side characters.
I loved
the supporting characters.
The what made it feel like just what aged it a little bit is all the smoking inside in places, and in '97, Red Sox fans still holding on to Carlton Fisk's home run being the biggest thing in Red Sox history.
I love that scene. Loved how they
so great
loved
how they
showed
that.
The clip. I don't think Sean was a great Red Sox fan. If he, I love that. I love when he says, like, you know, still can't believe you know, you didn't go to the game
because I didn't know.
Like, I didn't know Pudge would hit a home run. Oh, he says like sheep. It's awesome.
Let's talk about our favorite scenes. There's so many great scenes. Let's kind of go around the horn, like one each, and then we'll, like, instead of saying all three or whatever. So,
yeah.
I'm gonna start first. I'll start first.
You're probably gonna steal mine, but
I'm not putting them in any order, right? But one of the most powerful scenes for me was the conversation between Ben Affleck and Will.
Where he's
like, yes,
the best part of my day is when I'm driving. Yeah. And I'm
so I love that scene too. I don't buy it. Should I bang out the plot real quick and then we'll go over the scenes?
Sure.
Mikey? Let's just do that. But just, you know, I'll do the condensed version like we're doing now. But one other thing I forgot to mention, my wife and I constantly just randomly quote the movie. You know, here's your fucking double burger when I cook burgers or something. And whenever we get a lottery ticket or something, you know, enough to cover your sex change. Got the winning ticket right here. Got the winning ticket.
By the way, Stellan Skarsgård definitely wants to bang his students, right? I mean, we can agree on that.
Yeah, he hits on that one girl.
It was like a couple girls, I thought.
Yes. Mm-hmm. One was really, really hot.
David Hot Alert. Repeat. This is a David Hot Alert. This is not a test.
Oh, yeah, he's hitting on in the hall. Yeah. All right, so let me just bang this out.
Drink up, baby, stay up all night with the things you could do.
Twenty-year-old Will Hunting, South Boston, is a self-taught genius working at MIT as a janitor. Spent free time drinking with his buddies Chucky, Billy, and Morgan. Professor Gerald Lambeau posts a tough math problem on the blackboard. Will solves it anonymously. Gerald is stunned, posts a harder one, and catches Will thinking he's vandalizing it.
Hey, fuck you.
So, fuck you. Hey, don't run away from me. Sorry. So we'll meet Skylar at a Harvard bar. We'll get into, you know, scenes and part of that. Definitely multiple scenes in that and lines. She's about to graduate. We'll be attending med school at Stanford. And so Will gets, it's going back and forth. Will gets arrested after being in a fight, psychopath, really. After hitting a cop, Lambeau sits in, watches him defend himself, arranges for Will to avoid jail if he agrees to study math and enter therapy. So Will agrees, basically mocks all the therapists until Gerald gets his old college roommate, Sean McGuire. During the first session, Will insults Sean's wife. Sean threatens him. But after that bad start, Sean challenges Will's defense mechanisms and he starts to open up. Will tries to build a relationship with Skylar, although he still has trouble opening up his life to her, obviously. He lies to her about his brothers, his fictitious brothers. So Gerald tries to get Will some jobs. Though. Yeah, he did. So I think my buddy Dave at one point can rattle those off. Gerald tries to get Will's job. He's frustrated. Will doesn't show up to some of them. But Gerald doesn't want to see his talent go to waste. Will can't handle it when Skylar asks him to move to California with him, and he breaks up with her, basically. Sean tells Will he purposely sabotages relationships, calls him out, basically. Chuck calls him out, too, because of the potential he has to get out of selfie. So Will walks in on Sean and Gerald arguing over his potential and future. Sean and Will share that
victims
of abuse.
He waited at the door to listen a little bit.
Yes, yes. They both share their victims of abuse, and they Sean finally gets him to accept his trauma that he's had and opens up to him. Sean decides to take a sabbatical. He and Gerald reconcile. Will takes a job finally. Gets a car from his friends as a birthday present. Chucky goes to pick him up and is happy he isn't there, as he mentioned before. Will leaves a note to Sean that he's going to see about a girl, and instead of his job, he goes to California. So, and
Robin Williams then ad-libbed that line.
He ad-libbed that fantastic line.
Son of a bitch stole my line.
Beautiful ending. So, Dave, I agree with that scene. It's fantastic. I just don't buy that he would be happy. Like that his friend just left and didn't say goodbye.
Look, you're my best friend, so don't take this the wrong way. In 20 years, if you're still living here, coming over to my house to watch the Patriots game, still working construction, I'll fucking kill you. That's not a threat. What? That's a fact. I'll fucking kill you. What
the fuck are you talking about?
Look, you got something none of us have.
Oh, come on. Why is it always this? I mean, I fucking owe it to myself to do this or that. What if I don't want to?
No, fuck you. You don't owe it to yourself. You owe it to me. Because tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'll be 50. And I'll still be doing this shit. And that's all right. That's fine. I mean, you're sitting on a winning lottery ticket. You're too much of a pussy to cash it in. And that's bullshit. Because I'd do fucking anything to have what you got. So would any of these fucking guys. It'd be an insult to watch if you're still here in 20 years. Hanging around here is a fucking waste of your time.
You don't know that.
I don't?
No, you don't know that.
Oh, I don't know that. Let me tell you what I do know. Every day I come by your house and I pick you up. We go out, we have a few drinks and a few laughs, and it's great. You know what the best part of my day is? For about 10 seconds from when I pull up to the curb and when I get to your door. Because I think maybe I'll get up there and I'll knock on the door and you won't be there. No goodbye, no see you later, no nothing. Just left.
You know what I mean? Like, selfishly, he wouldn't be able to, like, you know, he does see his, you know, Chuck is smart. Obviously, you know, he has a vocabulary. He's pretty smart.
I love when he goes to Will's interview for him.
Yes, as we see there,
these guys are more like brothers, though. And
I agree.
I think the most selfless act you can have for anyone that's close to you is wanting nothing but the best for them. And I just like that. That's why I love the scene.
I'm agreeing. Yeah, I agree with you that it is a great scene.
It is believable because do you know how many times I've gone to Dave's house and just hoped he wasn't there?
Yeah, that's a little different. A little different.
That's true.
But I just don't think like he would want the best for his friend. But I don't think he would just want him to leave without any trace, without saying goodbye.
I literally had a tear in my eyes watching that exchange because the acting was just fucking great.
Great. And that fuck was so underrated in this.
But I also think that he knew that Will was holding himself back, and holding himself back because he wanted to. He liked his normal everyday blue collar life, you know. And
of course,
it was comfort for him because his life besides his friends was so fucking incredibly broken.
It was just easy to do this.
Yeah.
No, I love the scene. I love Affleck in the scene. I'm kind of a little skeptical of that he would be happy that he didn't say goodbye. But I love the way he does it. I love every scene with Sean and Will. Right? They click. But Mikey, what's your favorite scene?
I mean, it's got to be when he takes him out of the office, takes him to like a park, sits down, and basically says, you know all these things, but you don't know anything because you've never experienced things.
You're just a kid. You don't have the faintest idea what you're talking about.
Why, thank you.
It's all right. You've never been out of Boston.
Nope.
So if I asked you about art, you'd probably give me the skinny on every art book ever written. Michelangelo. I know a lot about him. Life's work. Political aspirations, him and the Pope, sexual orientation, the whole works, right? I bet you can't tell me what it smells like in the Sistine Chapel. You never actually stood there and looked up at that beautiful ceiling. Seen that. If I ask you about women, you'd probably give me a syllabus of your personal favorites. You may have even been laid a few times. But you can't tell me what it feels like to wake up next to a woman and feel truly happy. You're a tough kid. When I ask you about war, you'd probably throw Shakespeare at me, right? Once more into the breach, dear friends. You've never been near one. You've never held your best friend's head in your lap and watch him gasp his last breath looking to you for help. I ask you about love, probably quote me a sonnet. But you've never looked at a woman and been totally vulnerable. Known someone that could level you with her eyes. Feeling like God put an angel on earth just for you. Rescue you from the depths of hell, and you wouldn't know what it's like to be her angel, to have that love for her be there forever, through anything, through cancer, and you wouldn't know about sleeping sitting up in a hospital room for 2 months holding her hand because the doctors could see in your eyes that the terms visiting hours don't apply to you. You don't know about real loss because that only occurs when you love something more than you love yourself. I doubt you've ever dared to love anybody that much. I look at you. I don't see an intelligent, confident man. I see a cocky, scared, shitless kid.
That was great.
That was it. Such, was such a long monologue. Like I was looking
for quotes. Oh yeah, he has such great examples. You know, you probably say you know about love, but you Shakespeare, and then you know about
Michelangelo.
War.
All these, yeah. So
yeah, you don't know what it's.
But the watch. And then, to watch Will's response, like this is where you see that he's finally breaking through.
Yeah, he's breaking through
that exterior, and like that was the one thing that he like. I think Will liked experience. He knew everything about textbooks and you know what's in the written language or mathematical, but like to apply it to everyday life, he had no idea.
Yep.
And I think that's when you first saw that respect start to shift. And I don't think he ever had anyone was like besides his friend that he looked at that way. With such like a powerful like, hey, like wow, this person has so much experience that I could probably learn from. So, pretty good.
Yep, it's excellent scene. And you know what's funny is,
for people who don't know, people are just listening.
Well, I mean, it's going to be on YouTube. I mean,
is putting his Harry Potter like his grandkids' Harry Potter doll. I hope it's his grandkids. Oh, it's yours? Okay, even better. It's his Harry Potter doll. And he keeps putting it on the screen, like just having it come into frame. And
hilarity ensues.
The grown-ups have to deal with this.
Fucking jerk off. So I love the scene where he disrespects his wife, the music and the zooming in on the painting.
Yeah.
Love it.
And he says, you know, and he's like, you know, oh, well, maybe it's you picked the wrong woman.
Maybe you married the wrong woman.
Maybe you should watch your mouth. Watch it right there, Chief, all right?
Well, that's it, isn't it? You married the wrong woman? What happened? What'd she leave you? Was she, you know... banging some other guy.
If you ever disrespect my wife again, I will end you. I will fucking end you. Got that, Chief?
Time's up.
Yeah.
I just love that. I'll fucking end you.
Did you see
Robin Williams is so great?
Did you see Matt Dillon's face when he realized he got to him?
Oh yeah, he's like, that's it.
That little smile he had, like he finally got him.
Yeah.
He's like, he found his vulnerability.
Yep.
But you can see that, you know, Will was rubbing off on Sean too. The whole thing with, you know, he was thinking about the painting and obviously the whole thing with the sabbatical, I think going out to live. But even at one point when he's at the bar, he tells the same joke to those guys that Damon told to him earlier. Mm-hmm. He used he obviously liked that joke. And
the guy yells bullshit.
Right.
I also love that scene in the bar too when Ben was trying to pick up Minnie Driver, and
I quote him just you know when he the way he's walking when he walks over he does like the basketball move, and then he's looking the other way and he says oh hello
hi how are you
fine.
So do you ladies,
come here often?
Do I come here? I come here a bit. I'm here, you know, from time to time. Do you go to school here?
Yeah.
That's it. So I think I had a class with you.
Oh, yeah? What class?
History.
Maybe.
Yes, I think that's what it was. You don't necessarily, might not remember me. You know, I like it here. It doesn't mean because I go here, I'm a genius. I am very smart. Hey, how's it going? How are you?
Good, how you doing?
You want it?
What class did you say that was?
History.
Yeah.
Just history? It must have been a survey course then, huh?
Yeah, it was. It was surveys.
Right.
You should check it out. It's a good course. It'd be a good class.
Oh. How'd you like that course?
You know, frankly, I found the class, you know, rather elementary.
Elementary? Yeah. You know, I don't doubt that it was.
Yeah.
I remember that class. It was just between recess and lunch.
It just cracks me up.
And they're like... But have you ever been to a bar where your friends are all together?
No.
And one of your friends gets fucked up? I get it, but one of your friends gets, you know, basically put on the spot to maybe look a fool. And has that ever happened to you?
You mean you jump in and you start quoting Gordon
Wood? No, I'm not going to say no, but like, yeah, I've been in those situations where we've had each other's backs. But like watching him come up and not like, I loved about that scene, he was so cerebral and he made him look like such a fucking asshole being so intelligent.
Hang on, you're a first year grad student. You just got finished reading some Marxian historian, Pete Garrison probably. You're going to be convinced of that till next month when you get to James Lemon. Then you're going to be talking about how the economies of Virginia and Pennsylvania were entrepreneurial and capitalist way back in 1740. That's going to last until next year. You're going to be in here regurgitating Gordon Wood. Talking about, you know, the pre-revolutionary utopia and the capital forming effects of military mobilization.
Well, as a matter of fact, I won't, because Wood drastically underestimates the impact
of social distinctions predicated upon wealth, especially inherited wealth. You got that from Vickers. Work in Essex County, page 98, right? Yeah, I read that too. Were you gonna plagiarize the whole thing for us? Do you have any thoughts of your own on this matter? But is that your thing? You come into a bar, you read some obscure passage, and then pretend you pawn it off as your own idea just to impress some girls, embarrass my friend? See, the sad thing about a guy like you is in 50 years, you're gonna start doing some thinking on your own, and you're gonna come up with the fact that there are two certainties in life. One, don't do that. And two, you dropped 150 grand on a fucking education you could have got for $1.50 in late charges at the public library.
Yeah, but I will have a degree, and you'll be serving my kids fries at a drive-thru on our way to a skiing trip.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, but at least I won't be unoriginal. But, I mean, if you have a problem with that, I mean, we could just step outside. We could figure it out.
Oh, man, there's no problem. It's cool.
It's cool?
Yeah.
Cool.
You're fucking damn right it's cool. How you like me now?
My boy's wicked smart.
Yes.
And Clark.
Then he turns the switch at the end and says, well, we can just go outside instead if you want to just, you know, go that way.
In reality.
It was a genius and then the street brawler. Right.
Yeah. So here's the thing. In reality, Clark is insane for trying to mess with these beaten up looking kids.
Thugs, right?
I'm going to show these guys. I'm going to come in and, you know, is that your thing?
Yeah,
you bring up some obscure passage, press like, some girls.
He's like, common sense
friend.
Will prevail.
Yeah.
You'll be serving French fries. He's like, yeah, but I'll
probably
be
like,
I love that line.
Yeah,
we'll be on original.
Yeah, it's great. And then he's like, unless you want to duck out. So insane of Clark, though, to mess with these guys. And then also the Carmine Scagnetti.
When I was like, these guys are just trash.
Will is a psychopath, right? Will is a psychopath.
I love
that. Those guys are all dirtbags. Great.
Baker Street.
Jerry Rafferty.
Yep,
Jerry Rafferty. Just a great scene. The slow motion seeing Casey Affleck punching the guy. And then
because if
Will's
you don't,
psychopath.
He didn't want to get out of the car.
Yeah.
So that made me think.
I mean, they went to Kelly's.
That made me think of like me and my friends when we were younger. This is what. Mikey, this is what Ray.
Yeah,
and that
not me.
We used to go out like after, like we used to go out really late afterwards and like go to the Denny's, or whatever, at like 2 a.m. and look for people that acted like they were the coolest things in the world and just.
I heard that. I heard about you. You guys would beat up people picking on.
Yeah. We would definitely look for people that were trying to be cool in front of their girlfriends or whatever, and then just assault.
It was the best. Great scene.
Yeah, let me think of
you were the Goodwill Hunting of the Merrimack Valley.
Well, you know, my buddy's birthday was last week, so a little
sad. Yeah. That is sad. Too young.
It was great.
Yeah.
So
when he gets the number, he goes back.
obviously the most famous line.
Yeah.
Of the whole
which
movie.
I get, it's a little overused.
Yo, fuck you. Hey. Look at them fucking Barneys right now. Hey, wait, hold skiing on. Trip. Hold on. Should've beat that old bitch's ass. Do you like apples?
Yeah.
Well, I got a number. How do you like them apples?
We arrive too late. A mouse were over me. I turned off the light. So come on night.
He says it like it's a saying. Was it a saying before Good Will Hunting? I don't. Things
yeah,
what?
Yeah, it was the
was?
Same. What? It's
how do you like them apples? I never heard it before.
I never heard it. I mean,
I never heard it. It's pretty great. But look, it's definitely overused, but at the time, it was fun.
Yeah, it's just it's like a kind of corny, but it's like in your face, like, but he got a number.
But then that whole
Billy laughing.
The whole thing with Robin Williams talking about how he met his wife.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
That we mentioned. It's awesome. I also love Sean's relationship with Gerald, you know, when they're arguing, but it's funny when he's like, I'll buy you a drink at the reunion. He's like, those drinks are free. Yeah, I was being ironical.
Ironical, yeah. Yeah, that so guy great. Was like he wasn't like a villain, but you didn't like him. But you could see he was selfish, but he was like obsessed with this, that there's someone like this out there.
Yeah. How about his little toady?
Oh, guy, hold on.
Get us a coffee.
You know what else I love? I'm sorry, one more scene that I fucking love.
No, it's fine.
When the NSA was interviewing him.
We're going to keep going.
That is great.
And he went on that whole rant about how like he wants to go and like basically destroy the world. Even though these people never did. Like the way he just had that dialogue, he was so quick.
And he, I like how they did it where they cut it and he told Sean everything about it.
So the way I see it, the question isn't why should you work for the NSA? The question is why shouldn't you?
Why shouldn't I work for the NSA? It's a tough one. But I'll take a shot. Say I'm working at the NSA and somebody puts a code on my desk, something no one else can break. Maybe I take a shot at it, maybe I break it, and I'm real happy with myself because I did my job well. But maybe that code was the location of some rebel army
in North Africa or the Middle East, and once they have that location, they bomb the village where the rebels are hiding. 1,500 people that I never met, never had no problem with, get killed. Now the politicians are saying, oh, send in the Marines to secure the area because they don't give a shit. It won't be their kid over there getting shot, just like it wasn't them when their number got called because they were all pulling a tour in the National Guard. It'll be some kid from Southie over there taking shrapnel in the ass. He comes back to find that the plant he used to work at got exported to the country he just got back from, and the guy who put the shrapnel in his ass got his old job because he'll work for 15 cents a day and no bathroom breaks. Meanwhile, he realizes the only reason he was over there in the first place was so that we could install a government that would sell us oil at a good price. And of course, the oil companies use a little skirmish over there to scare up domestic oil prices, a cute little ancillary benefit for them, but it ain't helping my buddy at $2.50 a gallon. They're taking their sweet time bringing the oil back, of course. Maybe they even took the liberty of hiring an alcoholic skipper who likes to drink martinis and fucking play slalom with the icebergs. It ain't too long till he hits one, spills the oil, and kills all the sea life in the North Atlantic. So now my buddy's out of work, he can't afford to drive, so he's walking to the fucking job interviews, which sucks because the shrapnel in his ass is giving him chronic hemorrhoids, and meanwhile he's starving because every time he tries to get a bite to eat, the only blue plate special they're serving is North Atlantic scrod with Quaker State. So what did I think? I'm holding out for something better. I figure, fuck it, while I'm at it, why not just shoot my buddy? Take his job, give it to his sworn enemy, hike up gas prices, bomb a village, club a baby seal, hit the hash pipe, and join the National Guard. I could be elected president.
Oh,
yeah, great. Yeah. And then he's like, "You feeling alone, Will?" He's like,
"Yeah." But actually, Sean had a good thing where he was, you're always looking at clips. The worst possible.
Yeah,
you know, you're not going to do something because of the worst possible.
By the way, you mentioned about Sean too, but like, obviously, Sean discovers things. Like, Will teaches Sean too.
Yeah.
Right, which is great. which
well, the end scene where Sean's going back out and trying to, you know,
yeah, no, I'm no, right. That shows that, you know, Will questioning, you know, what about you? You fucking, that scene is so great at the end when Sean is like, enough of your bullshit. And he's like, what about you? You fucking, you know, you throw your cards in. It's fucking bullshit. I'm going to watch this again.
Also, we haven't.
Could there have been a better ending to a movie? Like, I know there's been a lot of great endings, but that ending is
it's
just
a perfect
so
ending for this movie. Yeah.
It really is.
Did you see that girl? Elliot we haven't Smith? Talked about. Mini Driver.
She was fantastic.
Yeah, she was great in this movie. Yeah. She was hot.
David Hot Alert. Repeat. This is a David Hot Alert. This is not a test.
Thank you. That's what I was kind of waiting for.
Now give us a kiss.
Yes. Right. When she told us, at first, when she started telling her story, I thought they were all going to be like, oh, she's lame. Like, what is this long ass story?
And but then I think Will was perfect. Like, he was like a little embarrassed, but you know, you can see they amused her. And like when he, and then Chuck asked about, you know, he's like, asked how it was going later. And he's like, oh, we broke up.
Well, like, that
oh,
mic really? Up.
You know, Chuck looked a little disappointed. He's like, we broke up. And he's like, oh, really?
Right. When? He's like, oh,
when did that happen? Yep.
When she went.
So
she was waiting for him at the airport.
She was great. She was very charming, and Matt Damon was really going out with her and broke up with her before
this
the Oscars.
Be great,
I believe,
for the
right?
YouTube. Oh, there we go.
What?
No, you were just completely sideways.
I was. Yeah. I'm sorry. Harry had to talk. He's like, "This is going great, David." And
oh, it gets funnier and funnier. The laughs never end.
Oh God!
He's making fun of me because I have glasses. Oh, but you have glasses too.
Dave, do a British accent. Do a Mini Driver accent right now.
Do a Boston accent.
Do a Boston accent.
I can do a Boston accent. That's easy.
You just kind of talk, and then it'll come out.
I'll just talk.
Maybe not quite as strong as that Southie accent.
Oh, how about when Casey Affleck was beating up in his glove, and
it was using it for cleanup.
And his mother's bed.
We don't have a VCR.
Yeah,
I don't have a VCR at home.
Yeah, the VCR. That's the only VCR in the house. It's in his mother's bedroom.
Did that shit not make you think of your friend group when you were young?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Think of that.
It's my boy's wicked smart.
You used to say that to me, Mike, right?
Yes, absolutely. I say that about you.
I see you working. And you were.
I love when Casey Affleck also says.
What's that, Dave? I'm sorry, Dave got cut off. What's that wonderful compliment you were going to say to me?
You were looking fat. Remember that's how you caught the diabetes?
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to take my hat off, David. You take your hat off.
Oh, my God. I have a headache.
Oh, what do we got here?
Interesting.
Dave, is that your thing? You come on to this podcast? You try to embarrass my friend? To impress some girls? Embarrass my podcast?
Step outside?
No.
I don't want to fight. I just want you to go outside.
I'm speaking to David now where I say no. That's not my intentions at all.
Such an asshole. Way to ruin the best movies.
No,
yeah.
Guys, this is not ruining it. I had a great time watching this. I love the fact that we watch great movies, and I'm so excited about watching our next movie, Night Shift.
Well,
this
we're
is
not
the
there yet, Jesus.
I get it.
Fucking asshole.
It's a great movie.
Fucking rookie. He's such a rookie. Starts talking about our next movie. We're not done. So I almost went with the Bushmills, right? Sean's drinking that. Don't you love seeing the night Sean is boozing by himself after Will tore apart his world?
Oh, that's when he was thinking of the painting and he was drinking. Oh.
So did you get my text about don't you agree he had the worst clothes? It just made him like a sad, like
Sean?
Some of those ugly shirts. Yeah.
Well, it was
Sean.
He looked like.
No, I'm not making. I'm saying,
like, you know,
I'm
academic.
If you think about his character, I mean, him and what was the other professor's name?
Professor McGonagall.
Yeah, I mean, they always had a long history together, but you could tell that Sean was the more. No, he was the more cerebral, more polished,
yeah.
And maybe he had a better.
You were smarter than. Yeah, you were smarter than me then. Right.
Yep.
But again, face kid,
he didn't live up to his view of what he should have lived up to, not meaning Sean,
Gerald was like, you know, don't be mad, don't be jealous of me, and he's like, you know, your mathematical dick, he calls him. I love it.
I do like
I think he liked the fact that he liked his life. He liked what he had with his wife, and
yeah,
he loved exactly. You know, he loved.
He had no regrets with that. I like the scene where they take him where they take him around to different the scene where they take him around to the different doctors. You see George Plimpton's in there, a couple of the different things that he just kind of toys with them.
He does.
Like he toys with multiple little children, right?
That came out of left field.
Yeah, that not really with him. It's always on his mind.
Yeah, that's true. So, but doesn't it make, like I was saying about his, you know, his clothes, it makes him kind of like a sad sack, but
he just doesn't looks like watching a guy who
this
probably,
movie now.
He doesn't have anyone to buy clothes for him. You know, he's just
the fact that Robin Williams died.
I know that's, you know, that's rough
it definitely makes him sadder or makes it more poignant.
My son loves
it's
this
so
movie.
Great.
My really? Son loves this movie. Yep.
Wow.
And he actually, when he watched it, he's like, it's so sad watching this movie because Robin Williams is gone. So that
really is sad, but it's still.
And he remembers when he died. Like you're 18. You were like a kid when he died. So like how you, like why is it so important to you? But that's how important
the genie.
It was. Yeah,
he was. It was. So look, we've done the town, we've done the Departed. The best Boston movie. I think this is the most Boston movie, right?
I think it's the best Boston movie done by far.
Yeah.
By far.
I guess.
God, I do love the
town. I wouldn't
say
by far. I do. I love it, obviously.
Affleck loves doing Boston movies.
So I obviously love it. My wife loves it.
I think the acting.
My friends Dave and Katie love it.
I appreciate this. I appreciate more scenes in this movie.
I love the soundtrack.
Than I think there's more quotable scenes in this movie than pretty much every movie we've done up until this point. Except for maybe five. I'm talking about scenes. I'm not talking about like laughing scenes.
You said quotable. Oh, okay. Well, yeah. There's a lot. Every scene is right. Okay. There's so many home run scenes.
Like, there's probably like a good easily eight great scenes, great exchanges.
I agree.
That's hard to get in. Right, Harry?
So I love the scene when he comes in and when he's talking about them. When he's like, it's not about, you know, it's about the boy.
Right.
Yes.
So like that's when
obviously,
he calls him.
Oh,
hold on. What about this is the most
gorillas.
This is the most powerful scene when at the end, when Sean kept on telling Will, it's not your fault.
Yes. Yep. OK.
Like, it's not, like, oh, my God.
So this is
been blown away.
Hey, Will. I don't know a lot. You see this? All this shit. It's not your fault. Yeah, I know that. Look at me, son. It's not your fault.
I know.
It's not your fault.
I know.
No, no, you don't. It's not your fault.
I know.
It's not your fault.
All right.
It's not your fault. It's not your fault. Don't fuck with me. It's not your fault.
Don't fuck with me, all right? Don't fuck with me, Sean. Not you.
It's not your fault.
Oh my God! Oh my God! I'm so sorry.
Like the acting.
I don't buy that. Like that. I love that scene. It's one of my favorite scenes, obviously. But also, I don't. You know, it does simplify. It makes it seem like.
Well, sometimes
therapy
you just had to hear that
a little more. Yeah, I love it.
His whole life.
I would say
cigarette butts out on him. They're putting cigarettes out on him.
It's awesome.
I love
it. Awesome. So but like, I would say to David, it is your fault.
That's true. For him, for David, know, it's exactly
like,
opposite.
I would just keep saying it. He's like, David would laugh it off, and I'd say, no, it's your fault.
And spit in his
David
face.
David would be like, ah, funny. That's funny. Real funny. It's your fault.
David, I would just keep saying that to Dave. Time.
Yeah, but he wouldn't even understand. He'd just like drool and dance around.
Yes. But you know, it's funny when he said,
oh, wait, yep. Go. When he leaves the his office for the last time, he's like, he says, like, good luck, son. In fact, he called him son. I think that really, you see the look on Sean, on Will's face, like, you know, they kind of filled the void of a father and a son to each other. In
right. And you really,
here we go, filling a void. Yes, yes, David.
You left yourself open. For yep, that we all one. Got it. You left yourself open.
I know. Left myself open.
No, I agree. I agree. I agree, Will. You like, you love that Will, like, you know, has that connection with him. You know, you know, Sean is obviously has the connection, but yeah, no, it was a great scene. But right before it, it's funny when he says, you know, you call them gorillas. He's like, any one of them would take a fucking bat to your head. It's called loyalty.
Yeah, loyalty.
Remember?
Yeah.
If they asked you, that always reminds me, for some reason, it reminds me of my friend Jimmy
Guy. Took a bat to a guy's head.
No, he never did, but you know. That's the best thing you could say about somebody, you know.
Yeah.
No, I guess that's not the best thing you could say. But
No,
I feel that about Dave. I think he would do that. I feel like he would kill someone in front of me.
20 pies for me if you told him to.
I would eat 20 pies for David.
Would eat fucking a dozen donuts if he
and David would take off his hat for me.
he would take a donut to someone's head.
That's right.
Loyalty. It's called loyalty.
Yeah.
So did you notice, like, this kind of has the same, between, like, with Gerald Lambeau, his thing with Will, the same kind of overall plot as, not plot, but theme right there as Whiplash, where it's like, do you need to, you know what I mean? Like, does genius need to be pushed? You know, does, you know, would it, you don't want it to go to waste? Not that I don't think Will would take the same type of behavior, abusive behavior, but I'm saying he didn't want, he speaks about that Indian who, you know, they discovered a great mathematician, and he just said, doesn't want to see Will's a little selfish of him, but he doesn't want to see Will's
talent definitely go selfish
waste.
Of him.
Doesn't want, but he also, he kind of creepily rubs his, you know, does a little hair rub like in his first thing.
Yeah.
Like, hey, buddy,
even Will
why
is
are
like,
you touching
what
me?
Like, you dislike
about, what
him
the
for
fuck,
a while.
How about Will in prison? The fuck you want?
Oh, that guy. You know who that guy was? Oh, crap. I forgot to mention it. Wait a minute. Let me look.
Oh, no. Who are you talking about?
The
I'm
guy.
I'm talking about when he's
in prison
by.
And the guy on the phone, when he's on the phone, he knows the guy.
When he says, Hervey.
Yeah. Do you know who that is?
You want some of my ass? No.
That's, I don't know if you know the name, Harmony Korine.
Oh, yeah.
He's a director. He did
he's the guy who did Kids.
Yeah. That's who that is.
Wow. I didn't know that.
I looked up like
so.
Why?
Yeah, that scene was funny. But then it was funny when Will comes in to the room with Gerald Lambeau and the cop like throws him down or whatever, and he's like, "Nice talking to you." Remember? And then he's like, "What the fuck do you want?"
Well, when Will's defending himself in court, and the judge is like, basically, go fuck yourself.
By the Constitution of the United States, this is the same
don't
document
tell me about
which
the
guarantees my liberty.
Of the United States.
Now, liberty, in case you've forgotten, is the soul's right to breathe. I mean, it cannot take a long breath. Laws are girded too tight. Without liberty, man is a cinco.
Man is a what?
Ibid, Your Honor.
Son, my turn. I've been sitting here for 10 minutes now looking over this rap sheet of yours. I just can't believe it. June 93, assault. September 93, assault. Grand Theft Auto, February 94. Where apparently you defended yourself and had the case thrown out by citing free property rights of horse and carriage from 1798, joke. January 95, impersonating an officer. Mayhem, theft, resisting, all overturned. I'm also aware that you've been through several foster homes. The state removed you from 3 because of serious physical abuse. You know, another judge might care, but you hit a cop, you're going in. Motion to dismiss is denied, $50,000 bail.
Thank you.
You've done this.
You've gotten out of this through a, was it stealing a car from a 1787 horse and buggy law that he knew about?
Yeah, but it's funny because he says, you know, without tyranny, what does he say? I don't remember what he says. He pronounces that word wrong. Cinco, when the guy goes, a what? I think a cinco.
But I mentioned the Affleck scene when Affleck filled in for him, but he did get $73 out of those guys. He did hustle them out of some money.
That one guy did not trust him.
Nobody in this town works without a retainer, guys. You think you can find somebody who does, we tell you you have my blessing. But I think we all know that person's not going to represent you as well as I can.
Will, our offer is $84,000 a year plus
retainer. Retainer.
You want us to give you cash right now?
Oh, now I didn't say that. Allegedly, your situation for you would be concurrently improved if I had $200 in my back pocket right now.
Well, I don't think I can. Larry?
I've got $73.
Will you take a check?
Let me tell you something. You're suspect. Yeah, you. I don't know what your reputation is in this town, but after the shit you tried to pull today, you can bet I'll be looking into you. Now, any business we have heretofore, you can speak with my aforementioned attorney. Good day, gentlemen. And until that day comes, keep your ear to the grindstone.
No.
The other great scene, when he talked about the abuse and they showed like the flashback, and when he says, I think I quote this too, when he says, my dad used to, foster father, whatever his name was, used to put down a wrench, a stick and a belt. And, you know, Robin Williams, like, I go with the wrench. I mean, he's like, I go with the belt. And he's like, no, I went with the wrench. Why?
Because fuck him. That's why.
Your foster father.
Yeah.
Yeah, so awesome. Great stuff. Well, Mike,
when your father says belt, straps, or
go on,
or ball gag, which one do you usually go with? Like
ball gag, you should have said.
Yeah, ball gag.
I'm sending it to you.
When Will cries, Dave's looking very sultry again. When Will cries, he does cry a little like Lloyd Christmas. Remember when he's crying hard? when he's a little bit like Lloyd Christmas, but again, still.
I think we should wrap up on that. I think that's the
still
wrap.
A great scene.
That's pretty wonderful.
Yeah, I think we were almost at the end. A lot, you know, they got him a car. Legally, a great line by Billy. Legally allowed to drink, so figured we'd get him a car.
Next, yeah,
that was a good scene though.
My first thought was, is that car going to make it to California?
This car's a piece of shit. It's good engine. My wife and I quote that too. Just as always, good engine. So, and then See About a Girl is so great.
Sean, if the professor calls about that job, just tell him, sorry. I had to go see about a girl. Well.
Son of a bitch. He stole my line.
Just one of my favorites. Love it.
I think
love it so much.
What?
Talking to his puppet.
That's one of his favorites too. Thank you, Harry. Yeah, shut the fuck up, okay? Sorry, guys.
Look how he's mean to his own doll. Now I'm gonna isolate that and I'm sharing that with just the gang, the whole gang, the texture.
Oh yeah, the doll.
So we did this was quite a fine movie.
Lots of clips, Mikey. Sorry. I know you're transitioning, but
oh my,
just
yeah,
reminding
no.
you. Lots of clips, lots
I'll
of music.
Have lots
did Dave
of,
never
I'll
mentioned whether he
some clips.
Whether he found who Dave, who's Elliot Smith? Did you look it up fine?
I didn't actually.
Jesus
who
Christ.
Who is it? I like the song that they're playing when they were fighting. That's one of my favorite songs ever, you know. What's that song?
Mikey already mentioned it. It's Baker Street.
Afternoon Jerry Delight. Rafferty.
It's,
oh my God.
It's one of his favorite songs. He doesn't know the name of it. That's normal.
Chris,
Miss Misery, you know the end song? That's Elliot Smith. He sings about six songs. Gus Van Sant really wanted to have him. He thought it was perfect, like Sadness.
It's a comedy of errors, you see. It's about taking a fall.
So the guy was a great singer-songwriter who killed himself.
Another rest in peace.
Do you remember when? But very, very sad story. But I just wanted to give him a shout out because Dave basically just spit on his.
Dave hasn't listened to the Chris Cornell song. Memory.
Jerk. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Go ahead, Michael.
I don't know. It has nothing to do with speaking of jerks. But we were back in the 90s for this one. We're going to go back to the 80s, all the way back to 1982. To talk
very
about
quotable.
A film with some of my favorite like people ever. Directed by Ron Howard, starring Henry Winkler and Michael Keaton. We're doing 1982's Night Shift, which I'm not sure I've seen in forever.
I seen that movie for the first time.
I haven't either.
Guess where?
I was going to say
Sycamore Road.
Sycamore Road. That's where I saw it first.
At my house?
Love Brokers.
No. Oh, it was Chris's house. Like
you couldn't have watched fucking Three's Company when you were
that
a kid.
Was
Shut
very
up.
Sultry. It was very racy. Sultry. Very racy. Before we go, I got to say some final things. You can find us on Twitter at @fine_movies. X, that's right, X, that's so fucking stupid. You can find us on Instagram and Threads at Fine Movies, Fine Spirits. You can find Dave lying in bed with a Harry Potter doll. And that's really it. I don't know, of course, you can find the website at fanslotexperts.com. David, Christopher, any parting words?
You know how easy this is for me, Mikey? I think this is a fucking joke. You think I want to watch you fumble around and fucking try to podcast?
Sorry. I don't even want
I'm
to
good,
give
Michael.
Final words.
Excellent.
Very good. David,
job.
Any final thoughts from you or Harry Potter?
I'll say this for David. This was a great experience for me. Now I'm going to practice some magic. That's it. That's all I got. I'm good, guys. I'm good.
We talk about great movies while drinking. We talk about great movies while drinking. Yeah, we talk about great movies while drinking. Subscribe. We feel fine.
I like when Dave's done. He's like, hey, guys, I'm all done here.
Chris can't stand the tomfoolery.
I love tomfoolery. Just, you know, amusing tomfoolery. Are we done?
Fab Not Experts.